Hi. Okay, you can tell me. Can you hear me all right through this?
Hello. Hello.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, great. Okay, brilliant. How are you all doing? Great. I miss you so much, Cork. I wish I could be there with you, but I am not. It's been great, actually. I've been really loving listening to the poems of the slammers tonight. So do not envy the judges that job. I can't really hear what's going on in the room with yous. So I'm just going to kind of have it on because I'm only really listening to myself. I'll just say you've got me for 10 minutes and I'll start off with this one. It's called Blue is the Hour. Blue is the hour before sunrise, when darkness and light are in perfect balance. We saunter the streets, my camera and I, and home has never been so candid. But the silence of the city is a riot in my heart. The ghosts of rush hour traffic hush to listen to the birds sing gospel. The walls scream in multicolors. We must document it all. The empty shelves, the bog roll citadels, the skyline eternal, granny's couture catwalk masks for the wains behind the glass she needs to look well for. Blue is the hour when we starve for touch, when 2 meters between us is a continent and yet we have never felt so damn close, when every day is a very early Sunday morning walk home to precious things, to where time is never spent but invested. Home, when will you randomly roar yo at me again? When will the voices of matriarchs split the evening sky and run right through me for a shortcut again? When will it all be sweet to the beat? When will everything quit being so terrifying and grim and gorgeous and electrifying? When will it all be sweet to the beat again? But the silence of the city is a riot. Thank you very much. Thank you. So I don't know if you were like me and sort of were in your teen years in the 90s. It was kind of a strange time in the late 90s because, you know, there was that whole threat of the millennium bug and all this kind of stuff. And really it was like, we didn't know at that time that when we kind of braced for that wee apocalypse, that really it was just the start of our entire bloody adulthood spent bracing for one apocalypse or the other. So this is kind of about that. It's nostalgic AF, but you know, I love a bit of nostalgia. That's me. It's called Montrose Bridge, 1999. The first time we saw a blood red moon, we read it as an omen. Only 13,157,47 seconds left of the millennium, some coincidence. We were 2 spotlit silhouettes caught bonnie on the old Montrose Bridge, getting nostalgic like we proud freaks did. Sure, wouldn't a tsunami of flames soon reduce this arsehole town to nowhere's ashes, and we look forward to it. This bridge will be the only thing left standing. It's as indestructible as energy, as nothing. We thought we were so clever. We cracked open the MD-2020, climbed into a stone triangle each, awaited the apocalypse. I white-eyed and missed it. You revived me, declaring we'd outlived it with your wine-bloody lipstick kiss. No spotlit silhouettes stand there in wonderment these days, under the gaze of these generic steel beams. The harbour died of capitalism, and the fishers of men are as a dream that glean no inspiration from this queer skyline of machines. Maybe the red moon knew. This too shall pass, and don't we bloody know that, be reclaimed by wild grass, maggots, seagulls, shite and salt, by the drip drip, drops of the South Esk River, sipping on the stone of the Auld Montrose Bridge while there was still time to share a drink. Thank you. So I don't know. This one is just about potcheen, really. Potcheen. For some reason, we up here we emphasise the all part, but I think maybe down with you, you say potcheen. Am I right? No, or wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is a wee story dedicated to anybody that's ever been pissed out their mind on potcheen. Hopefully, there's a few of you in the room. Some of this story is true, more of it is true than you might think. It's just called Potcheen. And really, it's a poem that asks, is Potcheen really getting weaker, or is the world just getting progressively more batshit? I'll tell you what's fake news, said he. What? Says I. Australia, says he. We're on our backs in a field near a border town. Fat moon on black sky, the cocky silver plough lucid among spatters of celestial spray paint and everything tourism and I would fucking love this. We could be the faces of a brand new nationwide campaign, only we're both peshed on illegal potching. Purchased from Marchine's mammy's uncle's best pal's brother's wee girl's osteopath from a skein. Now, mind just don't go blind, she said when she handed us the potion at this old halting come dog in sight at 2 o'clock one morning, and oh, how we laughed. And she didn't. She said the first bottle of potching in Ireland was made by St. Patrick one night when he drank the wine cellar dry, and sure, look what happened to him. Sure, didn't he start tripping balls and seeing snakes and slaughtering rings round him till he came to 4 mornings later and realised that the snakes were, in fact, the entire native pagan population of the island? Yous don't need that shite in your lives, kids, she said. And then she melted back into the darkness in her hooded black pashmina. Daniel Day-Lewis floats by us in a chunky knit balaclava, looking the number to Marchine's mammy's uncle's best pal's brother's wee girl's osteopath from Iskaheen's burner phone. But he's not the seventh son of a seventh son, so we don't give it to him. Daniel warns that if I keep using metaphors like celestial spray paint, then I'll continue attracting every space cadet in orbit for the rest of my days. Now listen, I'm telling you, Australia's fake. It doesn't exist. My mate says. Oh, but wait, I've been there. My mates, Joe and Anya, live there. Your mates, Joe and Anya, are actors paid by NASA. And for a second, I consider it. That's when it hits me. Like that wee lad Ralphie in that one movie, A Christmas Story, when he finally inevitably shoots out his own eyeball. We have finally, inevitably lost our goddamn minds to the bloody potching. The night in shoes in this purgatory of crazed pagan snakes, a demented St. Patrick eyeballing us from the sky until daybreak, pondering how the CIA might go about faking an entire continent. While the latent murderers within us wait on one more drop of potcheen to waken them. It was only by the skin of our sanity that we make it back to normality. To Theresa May, still believing that wheat field's the maddest shit she ever did to see. To Trump, planning some kind of a militarized space force by 2020. And oh, look, Gerry Adams is writing a cookbook. A sort of a culinary journey through the conflict. And by the time we fall asleep, we fall wondering just how well they all know Marchin's mummy's uncle's best pal's brother's wee girl's osteopath from Isfahan. Thank you very much. Thank you. Where are we at with the judges? Shall I do one more? Have we time for one more? Or are the judges ready to go?
One more.
One more? All right. Yeah. You're right.
Go for it. One more is fine.
All right. Excellent. Okay. I'll finish with this one. This is called The Trees of Potemkin Island. This was written after Grenfell. Yeah, it was just me imagining basically the shell of that burnt out building with a voice. Am I gorgeous enough for you now? Look at how I wear this brand new dress. Does it not just scream elegance? Even in this blackest of charcoal black, am I still not business class? Can't you see through this side split? These sultry stairways to heaven smelted the hearts of clouds as they dreamt and scattered the rashes over the rose gardens of Kensington. Have I not stood up as straight as any national monument? Though sick with the woes of unsung ghosts who taught me the words for mercy in so many different tongues, I choked to death. When will they declare the national day of mourning? Haven't thousands turned out to mourn, to cover this final restless place in bouquets like royalty? Doesn't the Horse Guards parade and King Felipe's visit look a vulgar ticker tape pageant next to this striking silhouette? Sight of human sacrifice, cenotaph to facades. Will I say woe? I say woe to those whose greatest sorrow is sore eyes, who could not bear to look. Today they dare not look away from me, the iconic burning tower. The consequences of past actions cause great conflagrations. The trees of Potemkin Island bear poisonous fruit. Thank you very much, everybody. Good luck to everybody who's going to get into the second round. Thank you.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you so much. I've just checked with the judges. They've asked me for 5 more minutes. If you would like to have an encore poem, you're welcome to.
Yeah, I'm good to go. If you're up for it, if the audience are up for it, I'm good to go. Happy days. All right then. Yeah, I'll do this one called Deep Rest. This was one of the ones that I wrote during lockdown, which, you know, I wasn't one of those people during lockdown who did loads of artistic work. I had a newborn baby as well, but, you know, I didn't feel massively inspired to write during lockdown. But I'm sure that were pretty much all like myself in terms of, like, when, you know, that feeling during lockdown when your house suddenly started to feel way too small, and then your whole town felt too small, and then the whole bloody country, then the whole bloody earth felt too small. So I needed to just kind of shift my mindset about how I was thinking about small spaces and try and just shake myself out of this feeling of being so buried, you know. So I wrote this. It's called Deep Rest. It's inspired by me dad's wee veg garden. Me dad walks me through the tiny veg patch out back of the flats that he's cultivated for more than a quarter century. The garden that's grown with me like some sibling stranger. There's enough food here to share for a year, and plot lines abundant for 100 soap opera scripts. The sheer scandal among these drills is unreal, me da says. The onions have choked the carrots for sneaking into bed with a garlic. The tatties have thrived by turning blind eyes to their antics. Big Rosemary said she'd day time for the parsley and chives, while wee Sage just wants to cleanse the negative vibes, man, and a squash that watched it all kick off his traumatised head's stunted growth. In five wide strides across, there are chapters, verses, verses. Entire worlds and universes, series, features, trilogies, gardeners know the meaning of being supreme creators. And when Da speaks these stories into existence, his expression is that of a brown-skinned Saint Nick all the way down to the tinged pink nose that gives laughter that I don't even need to force. The entire world has paused, but we are invincible summer still. As cocooned in a chrysalis of cataclysm, as I now feel, there's room to grow and bloom still. A song sings on repeat from the darkness. Our words have power and magic in the mind, the direction they point you in. And I'm reminded how cocoons are incubators, not prisons. Both night and day raise the hay, and Gareth, bugging out in some secret location, says, think preservation, not isolation. And I feel another poem kicking. This morning, in a state of deep rest, not depressed, I grew an entire short film scripts out of scraps in my imagination, and its mere existence is indicative of a good harvest. And when I finally get back to my nannin at Gortmore, I'm going to bring the sketchbook and watercolours. I'm going to paint the very eye of this eternal storm. I'm going to snort the entire North Coast up from breathing in so deep, and stretch my arms and conduct waves and take up space. When I dance, I'll add all them notions to the bucket list. There's space abundant for chapters and verses, series, features, trilogies, 1,000 years worth of story. Shh. Is it just me? Or have the birds in that crabapple tree fierce learned to sing? Thank you very much.